Hello and peace, everyone. This is Anthony Marinese, host of Eternal Insight. We'll start the show here in a second, but I wanted to take a moment to tell each of you about a new innovation with our broadcast partner, Anchor FM. You can now financially support our show by offering either $1, $5, or $10 a month. These contributions greatly assist us in our efforts to continue transmitting the timelessness of eternal truth. And what's more, at EI, we're big believers in giving back. So many of your contributions will be reinvested with our other charitable partners and beneficiaries. It's all about paying it forward and passing the good along. Please consider enrolling in monthly support of our good works. We'd be so sincerely grateful if you did. Simply visit our radio show page at anchor.fm/eternal insight and click on the Support Our Show button. It's very simple and very quick. From all of us at EI, thank you for listening and for your support. Enough of this for now. Let's start the show, shall we?
The best things follow us into eternity. Eternal Insight on the Fiat Ministry Network starts now. Here's Anthony Marinese.
And welcome everyone to another episode of Eternal Insight. This is episode number 2 in season number 2. I am so glad all of you are here with us, listening, watching, whatever you may be doing across the, as my brother likes to say, the interwebs or the internet or the radio or whatever means you are joining us today. God bless you and welcome to another episode. Thank you to all of you who've tuned in via live stream on our partner network, the Fiat Ministry Network, as well as to all of you who are listening via the Anchor FM worldwide radio broadcast platform or via podcast or one form or another. I'm Anthony Marinese. I am a lecturer and research scholar in the Department of Religion and Interdisciplinary Studies at the University of Memphis. I write every now and then. I'm the author of the book, Cross of a Different Kind, Cancer and Christian Spirituality, the field guide for all persons impacted by cancer, whether you've lost a loved one, whether you're currently battling cancer, or if you have someone who perhaps maybe even yourself is a survivor. This book is available for all of you, and it's available on Amazon in hardcover, paperback, and even ebook. And here's the best part. None of the proceeds go to me. Yes, indeed. You're not helping support any one particular man or one particular person. You are, in fact, supporting, through your purchase of this book, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, the worldwide leader in pediatric cancer research treatment and facilities throughout the world. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is the shining and radiant light here in the city of Memphis, where our studios for Eternal Insight are located. If you want to buy this book, simply head over to Amazon.com, tap in my last name, Marinese, M-A-R-A-N-I-S-E, and it'll be the first one that pops right up because, thanks be to God, it is our bestseller. And of course, I'm so glad that it's our bestseller because none of the proceeds, in fact, go to me. And yeah, I'm thankful for that because St. Jude is the place that saved my life some 21 years ago from leukemia this past April, 21 years ago. A cancer survivor myself, I and St. Jude, thank you for your support. I want to thank you again for listening. Please engage with us, and you can do that through email if you want to. Our email address is rather long, and I'm going to give it just for the sake of giving it. That's eternalinsightpm, P as in Paul, M as in Mary, two of our great saints, one being the Queen of Saints in the church, eternalinsightpm@secretary.net. Or what may be easier for you, if you want to tune in live, engage live with us throughout this show, please do so. We highly encourage you to do so. And you can do that by texting 901-497-9155. Yes, indeed, text 901-497-9155. If you have a question for me, for our guest tonight, who is fan-freaking-tastic, by the way, so just be sure to send that text message along. tell us who you are. So if you write your question or your comment, anything you want, and you text it to that number, you know, standard message and data rates apply. We can't really do anything about that. It's with your cell carrier. But, you know, if you want to text those along, questions, comments, concerns, your own internal insights, anything like that, go ahead and do that. 901-497-9155. And we'll be sure and try and feature those on air. All right. I also want to remind you, if you would, social media is such a big thing in today's world. You know, that's such a beautiful thing. It's a great means of evangelization. If you watched last week's episode, you already know that. Follow us using our Twitter. I keep talking like a four-year-old. Twitter. Follow our Twitter handle at @insight_eternal. So it's backwards on Twitter. We're Eternal Insight, but on Twitter it's backwards. At @insight_eternal. Follow us there. Or you can follow our broadcast partner, the Fiat Ministry Network, using their handle at @FiatMinistryNet. Feel free to suggest topics, ask questions about our show or our guests, or as I've said, offer your own eternal insights, and we hope you will do that. Just a quick reminder for you of our mission, and ultimately, greetings, hello indeed, a reminder of our mission, and ultimately, our show, Eternal Insight, what it's all about. It's about transmitting timeless truth. That's what it's about, transmitting timeless truth. At EI, we believe that whatever is authentically good, authentically true, and authentically beautiful points us towards the awareness and experience of the truth who is a person. Karl Barth, the famous theologian, said that truth is a person. Indeed, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He endures, and so all that is authentically good, true, and beautiful endures throughout this life into eternity with him in the next. At EI, we're ever working to effect a focal and a cultural change away from whatever is temporary and towards what endures, most importantly, through whom it endures. At the beginning of each episode, we like to begin with a quote to sort of set the tone for the show and what we'll be discussing with our guests. And today's quote, in fact, today is so special an episode that we have two quotes today. Yes, I didn't stutter. Two quotes today. The first one coming to us from Augustine of Hippo. That's Saint Augustine of Hippo, one of the great doctors of the church. He says, from his book, Confessions, "Late have I loved you, O ever beauty, ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you, and behold, you were within me, and I was out of myself, and it was there that I searched for you all along." So again, I want to repeat that one. Late have I loved you, O beauty, ever ancient and ever new. Late have I loved you, and behold, you were within me, and I out of myself, and it was there from out of myself that I searched for you. So Augustine, who by all intents and purposes was far from being a theist before his conversion, definitely a hedonist for sure, was given over to drunkenness, to debauchery, to a number of other what we might call sinful habits, although we're all human. He was given over to those things, and before his conversion, didn't have the closest or the greatest relationship with God, and of course, come to realize what St. John, the evangelist, in his first letter wrote, God is love. He said, you know, "O late have I loved you, O beauty, ever ancient, ever new, late have I loved you." And he said, "You were within me, but I searched from outside myself for you." So he was looking for love, literally, in all the wrong places. He was looking for God in all of the wrong places, searching outside of himself, looking everywhere but within himself. And of course, love himself, God, that beauty, ever ancient, ever new, was within him all along. That's our first quote. Our second one is another brilliant one. This one coming from the fantastic mentor and spiritual theologian, the late Father Henri Nouwen, who said, "Those you love become a part of you." Very simply, Father Henri Nouwen wrote that in his amazing book, The Inner Voice of Love. I had to take a glance back at my shelf here just to make sure that I had the title. I've read so many of his works lately. The Inner Voice of Love. And he said, "Those you love become a part of you." And those are our quotes of the show. Both beautiful, both excellent. And like I said, we have a phenomenal guest for you today. Our guest today is from Bellevue, Nebraska. Yes, indeed, in America's heartland. She is currently studying at Creighton University in Omaha and is a major of elementary education as well as a minor in theology and military science. Does she ever have any free time? At Creighton, she serves as the vice president for Creighton Students for Life and is the personal relations chair for the Catholic Students Organization. She's a part of the Creighton ROTC program while simultaneously serving in the Nebraska Army National Guard. Again, how does this woman have time to live or breathe or anything else? She is the illustrator. This is what I'm really excited about, everybody. She's the illustrator of the book, Cross of a Different Kind. Does that title sound at all familiar to you? Oh, wait, that's why. That's right. Oh, yes, indeed. I wrote that book, but she illustrated it. And aside from the fact that people say never judge a book by its cover, we all do it. So this book wouldn't be selling if it wasn't for her talent. So not only all these other things, she's the illustrator of the book Cross of a Different Kind and enjoys doing art and various crafts fairs as a hobby. She loves spending time with children and teaching them about the Catholic faith. She helps out with her parish's youth ministry and religious education programs. Her most recent endeavor is accepting her first coaching job in Omaha for girls soccer. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it is my esteemed privilege, and I do mean that wholeheartedly, to welcome not only tonight's guest, but someone that has been a incredibly positive influence on my life, and I pray to God that continues, Miss Mariana Walther from Bellevue, Nebraska. Mariana, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Thank God that you're here to join us. I'm so excited about our show, and I'm just really, really thankful that you took the time out of your very obviously incredibly busy schedule to be with us. Good God, long biographies, but you know, that's good news because you're doing so many good things to serve the kingdom of God and all of his children. So I want to thank you for everything that you're doing and again for being a part of our show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So today what we're going to do, you know, is we're going to talk a little bit, as you already know, I've discussed with you already, we're going to talk a little bit about the idea of beauty, not beauty in the sense of, you know, let's open a Cosmo or let's open a, you know, a GQ or, you know, one of those things that you'll find often, you know, begging for people's attention at the checkout counter or anything like that at the grocery store or anything or at the gas station or whatever. But we're going to talk about beauty as it actually is. And then we're also going to segue at some point over into revelations of direct beauty that you've experienced on a little pilgrimage that you've gone through. And so, you know, I occasionally to those of us that are, to those that are listening, you will hear me interchangeably, kind of just by habit rather than lack of professionalism, refer to her as Missy or Mariana, depending on just where I am in the show. She goes by Missy sometimes. Mariana is her real name, obviously, or given name, but goes by Missy. So if you hear me call her that, we're talking about the same person. We didn't add another guest without telling you or anything like that. And so, you know, what we're going to do is we're just going to jump right into this. And also, just as kind of a caveat for those that are listening tonight, here shortly, I'm going to kill my video stream just for the sake of improving our quality since Missy's joining us, since Mariana, either one, Missy Mariana, is joining us from out there in America's heartland and whatnot. We're going to, you know, kind of kill my video for a second and join it back toward the end of the show. and we're just going to kind of keep going on with just our vocals for a little bit. But we're still here, we're still accepting your texts, and we're still looking forward to hearing from you. So without further ado, I'm going to end my video feed, but I'm going to continue with my audio feed. All righty. So just making a little quick check. Can everybody still hear me, Missy, and our producer?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Fan-freaking-tastic. Wonderful. Okay, let's jump right in then. So I kind of, you know, Missy, I was real thrilled to hear that you wanted to talk about this topic because it's no joke. It's one of my favorites. I've had the sincerely beautiful privilege of knowing you for some time now, and hopefully that'll continue in positive ways. In that time, you know, I've long observed how important it is for you to, yes, live in this world, but not to conform to the ideals of it. Of course, part of our call as Catholic Christians is to reject the illusions of truth that this world often shows us, and to instead cling to the truth who is a person, something that we say over and over again in our Eternal Insight mission statement. It's actually why we founded it, to be honest. What would you say some common examples of illusions of the truth are that you've noticed that the world likes to try and pass off as genuine?
So I think like so much in the world is overcome by these illusions of truth. There's so many things, but one of the biggest ones that sticks out to me, especially somebody who serves in the army, is how the world views suffering. Hmm. So when we suffer in the world, sometimes we can automatically want the pain of whatever we're suffering with to be just taken away, or we look for the easiest path to get rid of whatever suffering we're going through. And we kind of search for that path of least resistance. And I mean, don't get me wrong, no one wants suffering. No one wants to ask for suffering. And especially watching someone else that you love suffer, it's got to be even harder than doing it and suffering. But I think what at times people don't realize is the great grace that comes from suffering. And in the hardest times in our lives, we have this great opportunity to be the place to do this and share in his suffering that he endured as well. Many people probably wouldn't describe suffering as beautiful, simply because we've been given this false definition of beauty our entire lives.
Missy, I'm terribly sorry to interrupt you, dear. We seem to have experienced a bit of an audio drop there. Your microphone may have been covered up a little bit. So if you wouldn't mind backtracking about 10 or 12 seconds in your response and kind of starting back from there, if that's possible, we want to hear what you had to say.
Sure. Sorry. I'm kind of.
No worries at all. These things happen. Go ahead from wherever you think 10 or 12 seconds back was.
I think I was kind of talking about the grace that we can get from suffering. Does that sound right?
That sounds, yes, absolutely.
Okay. So I think people can sometimes forget like the grace that can come from suffering. So I think in like the hardest times in our lives, we have this great opportunity to be really close to Jesus and experience and share in his suffering on the cross that he endured. But many people wouldn't describe suffering as beautiful because of the false definition we've been given of beauty, basically our entire lives, that beauty is what's on the outside and being beautiful is the most important thing on the outside. But beauty, it's really not how you look. It's how you love. And Jesus Christ is love, and he endured the greatest suffering imaginable because of how much he loves us. So really his crucifixion is truly the most beautiful moment in the world. And that's one of the biggest reasons that I find some of the most beauty in suffering.
Miss, you told me, literally one thing you told me not to do was say miss because it's unprofessional. So my bad. So Mariana or Missy, that's a beautiful like illustration of one of the sort of illusions of truth that the world tries to pass off as genuine. this idea of suffering being a beautiful thing because it, in a way, unites us with Christ on the cross. Are there any other examples you think that might be illusions of truth that the world offers us?
Well, I think just that you know, you have to look a certain way to be thought of as beautiful, but it's just simply not the truth. Beauty has nothing to do with the way that you look on the outside. It's all about how you show joy through your being. And I think if you think about it, when you think of some of the most beautiful people in the world, I tend to think of like Mother Teresa or some like great saints, not because of the way they look, but because of the way they act and they love and they share the joy, and you can see Jesus through them.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. In fact, you know, I was doing a little bit of personal preparation for this show today, and you know, I was sitting down, and it was actually at my church, and what I did was I took a picture of just the pew that was next to me in the church that I was sitting at, St. Louis in Memphis, and I sent out a Snapchat, believe it or not, and my Snapchat said, "It will be superficiality," which is refusal or ignorance to see beyond surface appearance of persons, that will be the fall of the world. Because today we live in a world that is so unbelievably image conscious. We're literally only looking for who is sexy or who is voluptuous or who is beautiful or who is in some way aesthetically or physically pleasing. But fortunately, not everyone is that way. And so, you know, blessed be those who can actually see the deeper truths of reality, something that you're so very obviously in tune with, Mariana. So, I mean, this is a beautiful topic, and I thank you for raising it for us as a suggestion. If you would maybe talk with us a little bit more about what has interested you so much in this topic regarding authentic beauty, not as the world sees it, but as it really is. What is sort of the reason why you've become interested in this topic?
So I actually became interested in this topic because of this summer I was invited to be part of this group of women from the Omaha area, and we got together and did kind of a summer faith-based book club. And the book we decided to read was called The Other Side of Beauty by Leah Darrow. Okay. So we would meet on Sunday nights at a local coffee shop, and we would just take one chapter of this book at a time. It was a relatively short book, short chapters, nothing too daunting. You know, we all had our lives outside, so it wasn't like homework or anything. But the book was really awesome. I really enjoyed it. Leah Darrow does an awesome job at tackling the false definition of beauty in our world and how it really affected her life. She was a model, and so she kind of talked about how the false definition of beauty like kind of overtook her life and how she got out of that. And I have to say the best part of this experience was being able to take what Leah had written about beauty and then being able to go onto deeper levels of it with these women that I was doing this book study with. And we got so much closer just from being able to discuss this book together and take it to areas where, you know, you never really think of on your own, or things you can miss when you're reading a book. You don't really go as deep as you could when somebody else brings up something. And I really felt like I created some virtuous friendships from this. So, I mean, I highly recommend doing like a book study or a Bible study if you can. It really brings about like really great fruits.
I think that's a brilliant idea. And if any of you listening want to do a book study with Mariana's and my book, that's totally fine. I'm kidding. All right. But
definitely recommend that.
well, no. Okay. So, So remind our listeners, if you would, please, Missy, the title of the book again, and then the name of the author. I mean, I've got it, but I want to make sure that our listeners heard it.
So it was The Other Side of Liberty by Leah Darrow.
All right, we're getting a little bit more mic interference with you, so one more time, if you would mind.
The Other Side of Beauty by Leah Darrow.
That's going to be The Other Side of Beauty by Miss Leah Darrow, which does sound like an incredible read. Miss, there's a great Catholic spiritual theologian. His name is Father Ron Rollheiser. He's actually the president of the school that I hope to get my PhD from. Those of you that are listening, if you wouldn't mind saying a little prayer for me, I've applied to the school, and I should know some final answers by March of 2019. I have to sweat bullets until then. Nevertheless, he wrote and released an amazing new book this year called Wrestling with God. And in it, he writes, Christian theology tells us that God is one, true, good, and beautiful, and perfection in all of these four. These are called the four transcendental qualities, and even Pope Francis himself has said, all that is truly good, true, and beautiful brings us to God. Mariana, as humans, we're often misled. It's very easy to mislead us. How can we discern whether or not something that we believe to be truly good, true, or beautiful is actually all of those things and thus from God? You get what I'm saying? So in other words, like, how can we be sure that when we think something is good and true and beautiful, that it's actually coming from God and not just what we want to believe it is?
Right. So like you kind of were talking about, that this topic is so big and can be written into whole books. So I think, like, if discerning anything is something you're struggling with, like, definitely check out like a book on it. But for me, I think everybody struggles with discerning different things, whether it's what school to go to, what major to pick, or just anything in life. But it's so important to go through the discernment process, because, you know, the devil's always out there and he's wanting to attack you in these weird and unexpected ways, things that you wouldn't even think of. Like you said, like, sometimes things can seem good and beautiful and fruitful, but the devil can be deceitful and make something seem that way, but it really isn't. So the biggest step I think that I always take is just kind of asking myself, like, is this thing really, truly bringing me closer to God, or is it taking me further away? Mm-hmm. And you might not always get the answer to that right away, but, like, you just have to pray about it and really take it to prayer, because prayer's the way that God's going to talk to you and really give you answers that you're looking for. And sometimes he's going to put, like, the obvious answers right in front of your face, and it's going to be so obvious that you don't even realize it. But just be on the lookout for how God wants to talk to you, and keep praying.
So of course, being the theologian, as you've probably, much to your chagrin, learned about me, I like to beat the dead horse out of certain situations. And so I'm gonna press a little bit on this and just ask, you know, obviously we can think that something may be good for us, or, you know, kind of to piggyback off of what you said in the beginning, that something maybe isn't good for us, especially when we're suffering. Maybe it's causing us a great deal of emotional pain. Maybe it's causing us a great deal of physical pain. And we may be tempted to say, oh no, you know what? Let's give up on this. Let's back away from this. Surely this is not bringing me closer to God. How do we know whether or not we're being tricked, either from God or the devil? Like, how do we go about discerning whether or not, I mean, obviously I know you've answered that question on your own, but maybe, like, from a personal example, I loved when you said, I think it's really going to resonate with a lot of people, that idea of, if it's something even as simple as choosing a major, you know, some of us may be very, very easily tempted to say, this one's too hard, screw it, I'm going on and I'm picking something else because I just can't do this. But in reality, perhaps we're meant for something that is very difficult, a difficult road to follow, our own way of the cross, if you will. So what's a way that we can just sort of make sure, even, you know, even in our own testing of the spirits, you know, our own idea of getting whether or not we're on the right or wrong track, that we're not being misled? Do you think you have an example from personal experience that you could share?
Well, I know I'm sure you remember this, but when I was struggling with my college major, I was a nursing major to start out with, and then I switched over to elementary education, and it was kind of like I really wasn't sure whether or where I was supposed to be. But again, with prayer, and then I think when I was making this decision, I really just became, it made sense, and I felt a peace with it. And that's, I think, something when you're discerning, like, wherever you end up, you should feel a peace with your decision, that comes from God, you know, like, kind of a reassurance from God, like, a peace. Like, when I switched, I was so stressed out with nursing. I didn't feel like it was where I wanted to be, but I thought maybe, you know, maybe I'm supposed to stick this out and be good in the end, which, you know, obviously when you're in college and you're trying to get your degree, no matter what you're studying, it's going to be stressful and feel like you need to push through it. But this was a little bit different for me. So eventually I did make the decision by just kind of figuring out, you know, where my talents and gifts that God has given me lied, and then just feeling that peace with my decision. And so I don't know if that was a good answer or not, or
no,
helpful at all.
I think it's fantastic, actually. I mean, sometimes illustrations from personal lives of individuals who have actually lived the things that we're talking about, those serve as the best means of conveying theoretical topics to others. And I think that's just a fine example, Missy. Thank you very much for that one. You know, obviously, I know we're going to try our best to keep on schedule, and we know that you're obviously very busy with that incredible bio that you have. So we've only got a couple more questions with you here. One of the most beautiful things, at least to me, in our faith, is contemplating the renewal and the restoration of all things. That is, this idea that Christ the King finally rights all wrongs. He makes all things new. He builds back up whatever has been torn down. And this is actually what we believe. Again, whether we are Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian or Baptist or Evangelical, this is what we believe. This is as Christians what we believe. We believe that Christ the King has the final say. He rights all the wrongs. He makes all things new. He builds back up everything that's been torn down. He indeed, love himself, restores whatever has been lost. This is what he will do for us when all of our earthly work is done. But there's a great Christian artist, and I know you and I both like him a great deal. His name's Matt Maher, and in one of his songs, I believe his song is called Abide With Me, he says, "For now I walk this broken world." How is it, Mariana, that we can live in this world, broken as it is, and yet still be faithful to beauty in the true sense of the word?
I think the simple answer is to show love, give love, accept love, and just be joyful. You want to radiate with the love of God. God is love. Like, radiate that. Show people Jesus through your actions of love and your words as well. A great example, like I mentioned earlier, to get a visual, is Mother Teresa. It doesn't matter what faith background you're from. Everyone knows who St. Mother Teresa is. She saw Jesus in everyone, and she loved them as she would love him. She truly just glowed with this beauty, this real genuine beauty, and everyone saw that. And you can be like this too. It doesn't mean you need to become a religious sister or devote your life to the poor, but if we could all just love the way that Mother Teresa loved the poor and loved everyone in the world, I think the world would without a doubt be more authentically beautiful.
Absolutely. I mean, what a brilliant idea. And what I love is that you hinged on the source and summit of Christian theology. That which is at the heart of Christian theology was, even if you didn't know, Missy, it was at the heart of your answer there. It's the old Baltimore Catechism asks the question, what is the purpose of life? And Father Mike Schmitz, I think you're familiar with him, he's actually done a video on this. What is the purpose of life? And he says, you know, the purpose of life is to know God, to love others in God, to receive love and to return love in hopes of uniting your love to him in this life as well as in the next. And it's such an easy and such a simple summation. It's reflective of the Trinity, this idea of the Trinity's overflowing fountain of love. We are meant to love, to be loved, and to love in return. That's what we're meant to do. And what a brilliant summation that you've given us. Now, a lot of what we've talked about, Missy, to this point, this idea of beauty, not as the world sees it, but as it actually is. That comes from our being made, imago Dei, that is, in the image and likeness of God, is something that you had a very personal, upfront brush with, especially this past Easter of 2017, I believe it was. No, I'm sorry, Easter of 2018. I forget that we're in the summer right now. Back around Easter, you had the incredible opportunity to make a pilgrimage to Medjugorje. Now, for those of you that are unfamiliar with Medjugorje, I'm going to let Missy explain a little bit more about what's so special about Medjugorje, and also tell us how and why this place is so personally important in your own life.
So Medjugorje is a parish in Bosnia and Herzegovina. So in this place is where Our Lady appeared to five children back in 1981. Since the first apparition where Mother Mary appeared to the five visionaries, they've received many more apparitions. Some still receive daily apparitions. This is still an ongoing thing that's happening right now. So it's now a place where many pilgrims come. They started coming on the second and third day, the pilgrims came to visit the place where these apparitions are happening and still currently happening. Like, how amazing. So here there have been many powerful healings, conversions, vocations, as you can imagine. This is a place where our mother is coming. So you can imagine those things are going to happen. It actually just recently has been approved by the Vatican, I believe, as an official pilgrimage site, and
it's very nearly on its way. Pope Francis has sent an envoy to investigate, the envoy of theologians, your favorite people in the world, to investigate. Yeah, the devil's advocates. Yeah, to investigate the happenings at Medjugorje to approve it for an authentic Marian pilgrimage site. But fear not, it's not going to have any trouble at all. I mean, a great spiritual director of mine, has said, well, you know what? That's sort of the next question. Go ahead, miss. I'm sorry. Go on.
That's okay. So it's important to me because my mom, she went there, when the, apparitions first started happening, because she was kind of doubtful and she wanted to see for herself, like, is this really true? Mm-hmm. And it ended up changing her life in many ways, especially, so each of the visionaries specifically prays for, like, certain things along with all their other prayers. But One visionary, Mariana Soldo, my mom named me after her because she prays for those who have not come to know the love of God yet. And that was a very important prayer to my mom, to pray for people who have not come to know God yet. She had been praying for certain people in her life that were in this place. And so she wanted to name me after Mariana. And when I went to Medjugorje, I got to meet Mariana, and she does an excellent job of explaining everything about Medjugorje. And she's so humble and loving to everyone, no matter what walk of life you come from. She actually has a book called My Heart Will Triumph, and she explains everything in there. It's an awesome read if you're curious about Medjugorje. Mm-hmm. I'm currently reading it right now. But yeah, I strongly suggest that if you're curious.
That's an absolutely excellent book. In fact, I've had the chance to read it myself actually within the last 4 months, thanks in part to your recommendation to have watched and scheduled a screening at my own parish of a great film called Apparition Hill, which also does a great job of sort of highlighting documentary style for those of you that aren't huge readers. I would literally only read if that's an option that was available to me. But, you know, not everybody is inclined to do that sort of thing. So some like to watch or listen. And so there's a great documentary film called Apparition Hill. You could do a little Google magic with that and figure out what's going on there. Great. But I felt compelled to do a little bit more digging. And so within the last 4 months, I've actually purchased and read that book by Mariana Soldo. That is, again, My Heart Will Triumph. Excellent, excellent book. What you heard Mariana, our guest, just talk about was that the church has indeed dispatched an envoy of theologians to investigate and to subsequently go on to approve, which they will. Speaking as a theologian myself, I have no doubt they will. They'll approve it, especially from the good things that are coming there. Nevertheless, the church has not yet technically, officially, formally recognized the Marian apparitions there as truly authentic, though they will. However, a very wise Benedictine priest once told me this about Medjugorje, and he's a remarkably holy priest and very devoted to Our Lady, particularly Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima, and Our Lady of Medjugorje. And he said, you know, Anthony, we're able to tell what is of God by the good fruits that he produces wherever he's doing good works. He said, good things are coming from Medjugorje, whether it be healings, increases in holy faith, hope for the depressed, hope for the despaired, and even so many vocations, so many good and holy priests are coming from this place. So personally and professionally, I might add, I've always believed that the goings on there are valid, and I'd have to agree with him. So I guess sort of in closing, Missy, I just wonder if you would share with us some of the beautiful experiences you've personally encountered on your own pilgrimage there at Medjugorje.
So this whole trip, I mean, it was so overwhelming. Being in Medjugorje has this just great feeling of peace, and I did not want to leave. I had, you know, you heard my bio. I have all these things going on at home, and I would have dropped everything to just stay there and, you know, be with my mother in heaven. I mean, it was really just this feeling. It's indescribable, really. But I did get the chance to go on this pilgrimage with my mom, and that in itself was amazing for me because I got to get so much closer to my mom and being able to talk about, you know, how she, her journey of faith. And it was really, I think, just something I needed in my life to open up with my mom. And then we got to meet Mariana together. So that's something I'd been dreaming about doing, you know, my entire life, meeting the person I'm named after. And just seeing what kind of person she was, just really that in itself really just left no doubt about the apparitions for me, because, you know, she just, you know, you don't, you meet her and you're like, there's no way she would ever lie about anything. So that was just kind of brought things, you know, okay, this is definitely true. And then I also met a girl, her name was Claire, and we really had this great friendship, and we had this experience. Mariana, she was joking that we were both really skinny and gave us these bananas. For some reason,
go on.
Neither of us ate them right when she gave them to us. We both just brought them up to our room and just like left them there. And so we actually got the chance to experience, Maria is one of the other visionaries, and she still has daily apparitions. And we got to go be with her during one of her daily apparitions, which was just like, I don't know how you describe that, but it was amazing. And so Claire and I were there together, and we had, throughout this whole trip, we'd kind of been together. We'd never met before. She's from Canada. I live in Nebraska. So, I mean, two completely, we're a little bit different ages, and we had climbed Apparition Hill together. We'd climbed Cross Mountain together, prayed the rosary together, and then we went to this apparition together. And we both had this, like, same experience. Like, we both experienced kind of, like, headache kind of in, like, while the apparition was happening in, like, the area around, like, the crown of your head. And one of us had brought it up afterwards, and I think it was me, and then she said, oh, I, like, had the same thing. And on our way up there, we had both, one of the things in Magicoria is you can experience, like, an intense smell of roses. Mm-hmm. And we both experienced that while we were walking up to the apparition. And then afterwards, we were going to watch the movie Apparition Hill, because the people that had put our trip together were the directors of the movie. So we were helping getting set up for that. And then we were both just randomly went up to our rooms, and then we ran into each other on the staircase, both holding the banana that we had gotten, you know, 1 or 2 days before. Wow. That we were just going to eat. So I think we kind of just like spiritually connected in an interesting way. But so that was very cool for me. But another thing that I just wanted to point out, like, you can experience like all these, like, one of the priests there called them like signs, but like, they're really just pointing you to like the Eucharist. And that was the main thing that I got from Medjugorje, was the importance and the truth of that, like, Jesus is so truly present in the Eucharist, and also how important our priests are. Like, they're, Mariana described them as the bridge that gets us over to heaven, the priests, because they bring us Jesus through the Eucharist. And she also talked about how when she has that, Mariana, when she has the apparitions with Mary, Mary always says, like, she's pointing them to Jesus. Like, she wants them to go receive the Eucharist, and she always says, like, get the blessings from the priests, because those are blessings from Jesus. She's like, I can give you a blessing, but the greater blessing comes from the priest, because it's literally a blessing from God. So just like, our priests are so, so, so important. And I think that's like the biggest thing that I got.
Of course, you know, one of the things that, you know, we know in the discernment of spirits, of course, you're Jesuit educated. That is, you know, there at Creighton and Omaha, a fantastic Jesuit school, honestly, pretty darn great at basketball too, if I may add. Those of you that are March Madness fans, I know our producer Kent, as well as myself, are pretty big basketball fans. I had them going pretty far last year. Nevertheless, you know, great Jesuit educated school, St. Ignatius of Loyola's, the spiritual exercises, one of the things that he tells us, you know, in the discernment of spirits is not just, you know, something that you've already alluded to so well, Missy, this idea of this overwhelming sense of calm or of peace, but anytime, you know, you are trying to discern whether or not something comes from God, if it is always pointing away from itself and pointing to God himself, that's a pretty good idea that it's actually coming from God. And the fact that Mary, in every one of her apparitions, whether Medjugorje, Lourdes, Fatima, Guadalupe, the snows, any of her apparitions throughout the world, she's never talking chiefly or only about herself. She may say, yes, recite the rosary, but let's consider the fact that the rosary is nothing more than a prayer to God through her, and she's delivering these prayers directly to her son. So she's always pointing to her son. And even Jesus, we know in the New Testament, he always said, you know, whoever wishes to come to the Father comes through me. So it's not that they are asking to come to Jesus. They're asking to come to the Father through Jesus, who is one in the same at the same time. But Jesus was never saying it's all about me. He was always pointing himself to the Father. And even your namesake, you know, the great visionary, the seer at Medjugorje herself, the Mariana, you, of course, being a Mariana, but she being the Mariana, your namesake always points to the blessing that comes from Christ acting in the priests. You know, part of our fundamental Catholic theology is this idea, Latin, in persona Christi. In persona Christi is acting in the person of Christ. So when the priests are exercising their ministerial faculties, it is no longer, you know, Father so-and-so. It is, in fact, Christ in the body or in the vessel of that person. Our bodies are merely vessels. So indeed, she is pointing to God himself rather than to herself, even in the imposition of blessings, saying that she can give you a blessing, but the greater blessings come from the priest. And so this is also how we know what's happening at Medjugorje is truly beautiful in the best sense of the word. I want to thank you, Mariana, Missy, however you choose to be identified today, for joining our show. I feel like there's already going to be a number of people who are going to be interested in the things that you've had to say and who may want to connect with you, especially some of the things you've alluded to, ideas of virtuous friendship, beauty, not as the world sees it, but as it actually is. You know, even things as common as how did you fight your way through figuring out what major you wanted to pursue in college? You know, I mean, in anything that you can possibly do to help other people, we want to make sure that they're able to connect to you, Missy. So how can interested persons follow or connect with you?
So definitely if anybody wants to talk about anything, I love talking about.
Miss, if you can find the microphone a little bit.
Sorry.
There you go. That's much better. No worries.
Okay. So I was just saying I would love to talk to anybody if anybody needs to talk about anything, faith stuff, anything else. Definitely. My email is it's Walther, which is my last name, missy@yahoo.com, and I think Anthony has it somewhere.
Yes. For those of you that are joining us through the live stream, it is visible. For those of you listening through radio and podcast, again, as she said it, it's Walther, W-A-L-T-H-E-R, Missy, M-I-S-S-Y, @yahoo.com.
Right. And then Twitter, it's just @MissyWalther, same spelling, simple. I think like all of my social media is the same thing, @MissyWalther. I have Instagram, I think Facebook. Sure, if you find me on there.
Perfect. And so, you know, she's covered all of the groundworks there, being able to find her. And of course, again, not that it matters all that much, but she does have my personal endorsement. She's helped me through more things than she will ever know. Missy, please, for the love of God, say hello to all of your wonderful human beings back there in Bellevue and Omaha who I quite honestly still pray for and miss dearly. Say hi to Mr. Randy and Miss Andrea and Joey and Jeremy and Tommy and I mean, say hi to everybody for me, please.
Sure thing. Thanks for, you know, still keeping in touch and having me on here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for all of you who are listening, please remember to follow us on Twitter. That is at @insight_eternal, as well as our media broadcast partner, the Fiat Ministry Network, at Fiat Ministry Net. Tune in next time when we'll have as our guest Father Raymond Mwangala. He is a priest of the Missionary Oblates of Mary Immaculate, and he will be discussing with us a topic that has become very dear to me lately, the topic of the idea known as the endurance of love from the wisdom of Father Henri Nouwen and some of his wisdom and insights, this idea that love endures in God even when it seems like it's lost to us. So Father Raymond Mwangala will be our next guest on the next Eternal Insight episode. And lastly, maybe you tuned in today looking for even the smallest ray of hope. We hope you found at least a little bit of that here. Please be kind to one another and never turn away from those who love or value you or who are in any way attempting to reach out to you just to be kind. If you find yourself, as I have, as many of my friends have in the past, in crisis, not simply knowing where to turn, I encourage you to text the Confidential Crisis Helpline. Simply send the word hello to 741-741 at any time, 24/7, and you'll be able to confidentially chat with a trained counselor who can help you in whatever situation you're in. As Pope Benedict XVI has said and written numerous times, never doubt that you are wanted, you are loved, and you are necessary. On behalf of our producer, Kent Kaholsky, and the Fiat Ministry Network, as well as Eternal Insight, I am your host, Anthony Marinese. We'll see you next time. Be blessed.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.